All glory to him forever. Amen. You see, if God owns it, then ultimately he pays. If God owns it, he pays. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." You see, for us who are kingdom people, there is a responsibility in stewarding what belongs to somebody else. And if you pick up your Bible, you'll find that the parable of the talents suggests that there's a bit more responsibility than a college student living with their parents. In other words, you've got to be engaged and you've got to contribute. But in Matthew 25, 14 to 30, we've got this parable of the talents, and many of you are familiar with it, but the real short version is that a boss goes away and he looks at his three key guys, and he says, "I want you to look after the business while I'm gone. I want you to manage our portfolio." And to one, and the Bible uses this term talents, to one he gives five talents, to another one he gives two, and to another one he gives one. And as you know, the one that he gave the one talent to freaked out about it, and the responsibility and the weight of carrying this talent meant that he took this talent and he just put it away. We're told that he buried it in the ground. And the other two guys, that they started to invest that and they made it work, and they actually got a big return on that. The guy that got five talents, he got the biggest return on what he had been given. The five talent servant was able, this is perhaps not what we always talk about out of this text, but the five talent servant, the guy that was given five talents, he was able let my notes catch up to me. The five-talent servant was able to take a bigger risk and get greater return because he knew that ultimately somebody else was paying the bills and backing him. Even though that boss wasn't there, he'd gone away and he had actually given him his resources and his authority to go and invest and get a return. Which meant, I am sure, that he took bigger risks, perhaps, even though they were calculated and thought through and responsible risks, but he perhaps took bigger risks than he might have done with his own money. You see, I think that faith is operating under the covering and the authority of our master. When we're operating under the covering and authority of our master, there's a lot of freedom. Yeah, there is responsibility in stewarding what belongs to someone else, but there's a lot of freedom. If God owns it all, well, then he pays. If God owns it all, well, then he has the infinite resources at his disposal and he can use them to meet our needs. God is greater than any business, government, or economy. God owns everything and gives us those resources when we call on him. You see, the more ownership we give back to the Father, the more that we function in the faith realm and live under a greater freedom. The more ownership that you give back to the Father, the more that you are able to function in the faith realm and the more freedom that you are able to live with. Because with ownership comes a weight and a responsibility like, yeah, I'm the one. Anyone got teenage kids that drive their cars? I'm always the one that washes it. I put fuel in it. I think about getting it serviced. All those things go on and the responsibility rests on you. And life is like that, isn't it? There are all these things in our world and we take them on and there is this weight that sits on us because we take ownership of those things. As we go through life, we accumulate, don't we? And Alex and I had a bit of a wake-up call when we had the first sort of major house move after we'd been married for a little while. The first move that we had, we'd been married 1 year, and it seemed easy enough. We bundled all our stuff in a truck and drove to Hobart, and then we lived in a little flat for a while. Then we got this house in Newtown, which we were in for about 3 or 5 years or something like that. I can't remember the exact time, but we were amazed, and it was one of those Californian bungalows in Newtown. It was a reasonable size house, and we went to move to the house that we were in Lenner Valley, which was a little cottage, and we couldn't fit all our stuff in, like not even close. And we'd only been married for, 3 years or 5 years or whatever it is, and we had accumulated all this stuff. So we sort of had to rationalize and get rid of stuff and store stuff and get rid of stuff so that we could fit it all in the new house. You see, if you're lucky or driven or blessed, we build stuff around us. Houses, cars, toys, clothes, gadgets, children, even our influence or our image. And the more you have, the more you need to maintain. And sometimes we can stretch ourselves, to get the bigger house or the more expensive car, but often even not getting it's only part of it. The pressure is actually in being able to maintain and operate what you've taken ownership of. I often see boats around the Hobart marinas, and I've always had sort of a bit of an interest in boats and quite enjoy them. And you see these beautiful flybridge cruisers and that sort of thing, and you think, wow, be nice to have one of those. Maybe I could get one of those somehow. But I know people that own those boats, and I know a bit about that sort of thing, and I know that owning it would be one thing, but operating it would be another. I mean, every time I took some blokes away for the weekend, I'd probably use all my income currently putting fuel in it. So I could perhaps own it, but I wouldn't have the resource and the capacity to operate it. Sometimes we get frustrated with God. I wish you would bless me. I wish you'd give me that opportunity or that resource or that new level of influence. Or I would like that leadership opportunity, that role at church or that opportunity in community or public life. But, do we have the capacity to maintain it? Perhaps, you feel like, oh, yeah, I'm a gifted communicator. And you're thinking, God, give me opportunities. But can you maintain it? Can you live it out? Is what is in you able to sustain what is on you? In other words, is what you're carrying inside you able to sustain the gift that is actually on your life? Yeah. See, we're told that God gives gifts as he sees fit, and it's up to us to go on the journey of building the character that will sustain the gift that is on us. And it is actually much more about the character that sustains the gift on how well it's used and the influence it has, more so than even the gift that is actually on your life. There are incredibly gifted people who are not doing very much, aren't there? And there are people perhaps of a lot lesser gifting that are doing incredible things, where it actually comes down to what is inside them, carrying and making the most in what is on them. If we feel like we're always fighting to protect, if we feel like we're a sheepdog, always circling around our stuff, if so much of our headspace is about maintaining what we've accumulated, then we're probably feeling stressed, anxious, and our capacity to see and receive vision will be limited. I believe when we're in a maintenance mode, when we're in a place where we're trying to look after what we've got, And there's a fear that comes, can I maintain it? You know, can I keep the family together? Can I not lose the little bit of money that I've accumulated and find myself on the street, you know? And we almost get into this thing like we're a sheepdog. We're circling around it and trying to protect it. And all our energy actually goes into protecting what we have. And then, you know, somebody starts to talk vision. Somebody starts to talk about what's out there. And it's like, I can't even take that in. Dave, as a pastor, I wish you would stop talking about vision and just encourage us and make me feel good. Because I haven't got the capacity for that. I'm not going to ask for hands. But if you said that, most of us would put our hand up at some point, including me. Why is that? I think it is because we've taken ownership of that which is not ours. And ultimately, it was never meant to be ours. So how can we move from worry and anxiety to faith? Well, number one, if you're taking notes, I think this is core. And for all of us, it needs some sort of shift. Build the kingdom rather than your own empire. Build the kingdom rather than your own empire. Build the kingdom rather than your own empire. Matthew 6:33, really well known. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously and he will give you everything you need. See, as the 5-talent servant built the master's kingdom, he received far more than what he needed. If it's our empire, well, we have to foot the bills. We live under the constant pressure and responsibility of maintenance and protection. But think about it this way. If it's a kingdom empire, if it's the kingdom of God, well, then the resources of heaven are at your disposal. When it's your empire, you pay. When it's the kingdom, the resources of heaven are actually at your disposal. When you come into the kingdom, you share in the blessing of Abraham, which is, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing and I will bless those who bless you and I will be the one that, and the one who curses you, I will curse and you and your family and you and all the families of the earth will be blessed. And it's picked up again by Paul in the New Testament, Galatians 3:14. It says, through Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised Abraham so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. When we build the kingdom, we do with the unlimited resources and the freedom that comes through a limitless God. And the ultimate victory of Jesus Christ. See, when we're building our empire, we're limited to whatever we've accumulated. And it's funny, actually, when you boil it all down, when you have to move house or something and you load it all into a truck, yeah, you've probably got some good stuff, but you've got a lot of junk too, haven't you? We're limited to what we've accumulated or what we can beg, borrow and steal from those around us. But kingdom builders live with the freedom and the capacity to see and receive vision. So it's a different mindset. When you move from that to a kingdom perspective, you actually live with the freedom and then you can see things and you can receive vision and you've actually got the freedom to step into those things. Empire builders live with pressure and anxiety to maintain and protect. With Christian leaders, there's a big difference between people who are ultimately building the kingdom and building an empire. And over the years, I've seen lots of people crash and burn. And one of the key things, the key indicators are when they are building people around themselves rather than the kingdom. It can sort of feel a bit good for a while because you're the man. You're loved. And these people need you. But gee, there's a lot of pressure when it starts to go wrong. It's like Alex and I at the moment with little kids. You know, they live in our house and it's sort of that little empire. And yeah, they're there and you know, they tell us we're great at times. But then they want something nearly all the time. There's a pressure that comes with that, isn't there? And if, as a leader or as a person, if you are just constantly building people around yourself, well, they are limited. They are limited by your capacity. But if we build people into the kingdom, and as leaders in the church, if we're kingdom building, well, they're not limited by our capacity because they have the capacity of Almighty God and the resources of heaven at their disposal, and they will go further than us. They will go beyond where we are if we take on the mindset of a kingdom builder rather than an empire builder. With your family, let's make it a kingdom family, not an empire family. Because if you make it an empire family, your family will judge you on what you have done. If it's a kingdom family, they will see the grace of God around your shortcomings and they will see Him through you and above that. But if it's an empire, you will be judged for what you did not deliver to them. How can we move from worry and anxiety to faith? I think number two, we've got to live like a shepherd rather than a sheepdog. Live like a shepherd rather than a sheepdog. You see, a shepherd leads, and we're going back to the biblical idea of a shepherd, whereas as these shepherds would have this flock of sheep, and they weren't like we have them now. You know, we put sheep in a paddock and shut the gate and hope they're all right for a few days, and you know, someone drives down to check and make sure there's enough feed. But where there weren't fences and paddocks, the shepherd in many ways was a visionary. The shepherd was looking for the next green pasture. The shepherd was looking for the next bit of feed. The shepherd was looking for what would actually bring nourishment and health to that flock of sheep. So he was constantly on the move and he was leading them into that. He was giving them protection, but he was actually leading them into what they could see next. Sheep weren't smart enough to do that, as you know, or are not smart enough to do that. But a sheepdog, and I think in those days the shepherds perhaps didn't use dogs like we do now. The reason that we use sheepdogs is that we're trying to contain the sheep, aren't we? We're wanting to get the sheep into a paddock, lock them in there, and we know they're safe until we open the gate and let them out. And we use the sheepdog to harass and drive the sheep. Like you watch a sheepdog, and he goes around. He gets, you know, when they're going forward, he goes behind, and he's got teeth, and he can scare them along a little bit to move, and then he's able to come around, and he circles around them, and he contains them. Whereas a shepherd is actually leading and guiding, and whereas a sheepdog is maintaining them and containing them and getting them into a place of containment, that shepherd would lead those sheep into space. If we've got a sheepdog mentality, we're always going to find ourselves in containment. If we can understand that as kingdom people we're called to live much more like a shepherd, yes, we follow the good shepherd, but we are moving to space, not containment. By the way, we do have seasons where we've got to pull back and we've got to tighten our belts and do those things. That's true. But if life is always about containing, you can actually understand that you're struggling with the freedom that you should have in the kingdom. Have you ever met somebody when you've been busy and they've done one of those big life changes? They've sold the house, they've offloaded a whole lot of responsibility, and they've bought a Winnebago. And you think, wouldn't that be cool? All I've really got to worry about is, can I put fuel in the camper and drive to the next place? And it's a lot smaller to clean than the house. And people are not going to drop around so much because they don't know me. And anyway, I can shut the door and say I can't fit you in. There's a containment in that. There is a sense where we pull back to something that is manageable, because we want to. It's still all about the ownership. We can own that space where we don't feel like we can own the big space. How about flipping on its head? You don't own the big space and you don't own the small space, so the pressure's gone when you're in the big space, because God pays. Your Father pays the bills. How can we move from worry and anxiety to faith? Well, number three, let it go. Let it go. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I did it recently on the phone to somebody, but I'm not going to do it. And I've shared this story a lot of times about the way that they would catch little monkeys. And, you know, it was to put a container on it, you know, nail it to a bench or something like that. And the monkey comes along, puts his hand or her hand in the tin, grabs hold of the nuts or whatever's in there, and is very easily captured, because there is no way that monkey is going to let go of what they've got hold of. And obviously, with a clenched fist, they can't pull it out of the container, and they become easy prey for the captor. You know what? We become easy prey for our enemy when we live with closed fists, when we hold on tight to stuff, whether we hold on tight to our possessions, whether we hold on tight to offense, whether whatever it is that we're holding on tight to, we're in that place where we are prey for the enemy. Because when you're in that place, you are stationary, you are not protected, and he can take you down so quick and so easy. Whereas when we can actually let go of that and understand that it wasn't mine in the first place, it never belonged to me, it is the blessing of God, he has given it to me, so I don't have to maintain it. I can let it go and I can let him have control. And to understand the heart of the Father as to why you can let go is because he's not going to want to take away from you. His heart is to give. His heart is to bless. His heart is to increase. His heart is to lead you through. I'm not saying there won't be hard times, but the heart of the Father is not to take away from you. The heart of the Father is to give to you, and you cannot receive with a clenched fist. You receive with an open hand. And if we can move to that, and I think key to this is understanding where the ownership is. It's actually not ours to own. It is our Father who owns everything. Psalm 37, 1 and 4 says, as I've already read this morning, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither like a herb. You know, a lot of fights that we engage with are not ours to have. And Jesus had this incredibly insightful conversation with Peter just before he went back to heaven. And in John 21 and 22, Peter asked Jesus. And this is classic. So Jesus has just had this really deep moment with Peter where he's put him back together again. He's reinstated him after his betrayal. And he's given him a mission, he's given him a purpose, and he's given him a focus on where he needs to go. And all of a sudden, Peter has this moment of distraction. He looks around and he sees John there. And he says, what about him? And Jesus could very easily have said, well, you know, John is going to be an incredible apostle. John is going to write a gospel. You're not going to do that, Peter. John is going to be core in birthing the church and the core and key elder in that church. John is going to talk about love like nobody else has done. John is going to understand the heart of Jesus like perhaps no other man has done. And he didn't say that. He said, that's not yours to carry, Peter. I've given you an incredible call, and I will support that on you, but you don't need to worry about John. Team, can join me now. Number four, this is the last one. How do we move from anxiety to faith? And I've said this before, but you know what? We fight from victory, not for victory. We fight from victory, not for victory. Romans 8, 35 and 39 says, who? Isn't it interesting it says who and not what? It says who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it goes into the what, but it says a who. And I think it's important that we understand that. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. Interesting term, isn't it? Killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Anybody feeling encouraged? Yet. Sometimes the kids take us through a crap season. Sometimes our relationships don't work. Sometimes we lose a job. Sometimes we go bankrupt. Sometimes we find ourselves feeling like we don't have enough. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities or powers nor things present nor things to come. Those things you're worrying about from the past, those things that you have anxiety about over the future, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. We fight from that sort of victory. We don't own it. We don't run the fight. And we can't lose. The only time we lose is when we own it and we make it our fight, not God's fight, which is from a place of victory. Isaiah 58 verse 8 says, then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness, this is an interesting word that the New Living Translation uses here. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Another version says, the New International Version says, then your light will break forth like the light of the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. It tells me that when we actually step in, we move into the goodness of God, like Katie was encouraging us this morning. When we move into that place, when we let go of the ownership, we understand it is God's. We are not worrying about what would creep up on us and take what we've already got. We're not worried about loss. You see, as kingdom people, we're never told to be defensive people. We're not told that we're always got the defensive up. We're not actually called to be offensive in the sense that we're making unnecessary attacks. But we're actually called to live with security in a place where we function from victory. And we know that we don't have to get defensive about stuff. Because most of the battles and the fights are not ours to have. They are God's. And He will deal with them. He will pay for them. And He will work it out. When we build the kingdom, it's protected. It's protected by the armies of heaven, and they are your defense. What is it that would limit you this morning from stepping in to another realm of faith? What is it this morning that you can actually make a transaction with right now or over the next week? It's a bit like, get that phone banking app out. Speaking metaphorically here. Get that faith application app out and make a transfer. Move something from your empire to God's kingdom. Maybe it's your car, maybe it's your house, or maybe it's worry about someone or something or something that's going on. Maybe it's time to actually take that thing and move it out of your empire and put it into God's empire. Maybe it's that business and what's going to happen there. You've got to actually take it from your empire and put it into the kingdom. I would say the difference between our business and a kingdom business, and those people that are in business often hear this term in Christian world, oh, I'm in kingdom business. But what is actually a kingdom business? And people say, oh, well, it's for the purposes of the kingdom. Well, is it building your empire or is it building the kingdom? Are you paying or is God paying? I think that's the difference in all these things. Are you carrying the responsibility or is God taking it on? What is it? Can we move right now this morning from our little empire to the kingdom of God, and let's take the weight and the responsibility of ownership from ourselves and put it on there, and we can function in a place of freedom and faith and vision and start to move forward. You know, who's been stuck in something for a while right now? I think you need to make that transaction here this morning. That thing comes out of your worry and your control and into the kingdom of God, where it actually can be put in a culture and an atmosphere where that thing will change, where there will break through, and it will move from where it is. Why don't we stand right now? Can you just lead us, Jemima, in majesty? It's majesty, that song that we sang earlier, it talks about the grace of God. And maybe the real practical thing about all this is understanding it's His grace. Because grace means that it's not about us, it's all about what He's done for us. What He is going to do through you is not actually about who you are, but it's about who Jesus is. Let's take a kingdom mindset as we sing Majesty this morning.